If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Week three of the NFL season had its fair share of remarkable moments, from record-setting kicks.
This is for an NFL record 66 yards. On its way. It bounces off the crossbar, and it's good!
Oh my goodness!
To record-setting returns.
Agnew, still running.
Today, The Athletic's Ted Wynn joins us to talk about the most competitive division in the AFC, whether it's panic time in KC, and what we should take away from Justin Fields' debut in Chicago.
That's going to be a game that, for him, is going to be tough to forget. And we've seen rookie quarterbacks in situations like this just get kind of shell-shocked and never really recover from it.
From Wondering in The Athletic, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. It's Monday, September 27th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
No, go faster, faster.
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
Are you kidding me? I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
So, Ted, before we get into the games from the past week, we wanted to talk to you about something else you're very passionate about, steak. We've seen some of your tweets about your grilling prowess in the past, but not so much recently. So what's going on? Less time for grilling now that the season's underway?
Well, I actually just made one this morning. I made a nice little Australian Wagyu steak in the morning, ribeye, just to get ready for football. So I got into making pizza. My friends put together their money and got me a pizza oven for my birthday last year. And I've just been like obsessed with making pizzas ever since. And I haven't gained, you know, that much weight. So it kind of confirms my theory that pizza is actually good for you if it's homemade.
Next week, we are coming to your house for some pizza and steak.
Hey, you guys are invited.
Well, diving into the games now, we wanted to start with one of the weekend's marquee matchups, the Chiefs taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. And this one had a pretty wild ending. So, Ted, can you briefly walk us through the last 5 minutes in Kansas City?
So Justin Herbert was just lights out in this game, just making big throws after big throws.
Look at this throw. He's got Williams in the secondary, trying to get away from two corners and a safety, and he's dragged down at the 32. It was wide open for him.
What a play call. Joe Lombardi, and what a throw. And look at him turn and fire that ball.
He kicked the field goal with 2 minutes left to tie the game 24-24. And then Mahomes gets the ball back, and it's, you know, it seems like it's perfectly set up for another Mahomes last minute drive.
And now you need to stop one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever walked.
Who has his full allotment of timeouts.
Part of Staley's philosophy is to sit back and play too deep and to take away those big plays. And I think, you know, throughout this game, just saw Patrick Mahomes getting a little frustrated. Same situation happened on third down. Just kind of tossed the ball up. It gets picked off.
Looking for options. Throws it off his back foot. And it's intercepted. Gilman with the interception.
My goodness.
And then the Chargers get the ball back. And they drive all the way to the red zone, and they had a chance to actually just kind of wind down the clock and kick a field goal, but instead they got really aggressive and scored a touchdown.
Great throw, great job, but why?
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Yeah. I think it's awesome. But you just gave Patrick Mahomes now 32 seconds
with a timeout.
And then Patrick Mahomes gets the ball back with 30 seconds. They get in position for a Hail Mary, and, you know, they don't make the Hail Mary, and the Chargers take a huge win.
Now heaves it. Will it reach the end zone? The ball falls incomplete. And the Chargers have taken the victory in Kansas City, 30-24.
And for the first time in what feels like forever, the Chiefs lose two in a row.
And what did you make of Chargers rookie head coach Brandon Staley's decision to basically abandon the idea of winning the game by just running down the clock and ending with a field goal, and instead going for it on fourth down in field goal range, and then, as you mentioned, opting for the quick touchdown throw to Mike Williams? Were those decisions gutsy, or did Staley almost coach his team out of the win?
Yeah, I don't agree with that, unless there's something wrong with the kicker and he really doesn't trust his kicker to make a chip shot field goal. It's really a strange decision. I mean, you see it all the time when, you know, teams get in overtime and they have that opportunity for a sudden death win on a field goal. Coaches will kick it on second down in overtime when they know that they have a chip shot. And that's kind of the situation that the Chargers were in, but they elected to go for a touchdown. And I think if Staley could take that decision back and look back on the game, I think he would have probably ran some clock and went for a chip shot field goal. That way you don't give the ball back to Mahomes. You know, even though he only has 30 seconds left, I mean, I don't want to get in a situation where Mahomes has a Hail Mary opportunity. But they pulled through, even though there was a, you know, a questionable decision at the end there. So, you know, this might be the end of chargering, but there'll always be a little faint signs of chargering going on, I think.
So, Ted, what was your main takeaway from this Chargers performance? A sign that they're ready to compete, or are there still alarm bells blaring for you there?
You know, I thought that their offense took a slow start to the season. I expected a lot from Justin Herbert coming into a second season, but I didn't know what to expect going against the Chiefs defense that is pretty good at stopping the pass. But he came in and, like we talked about, he just kept on making big throws after big throws. And those weren't easy throws. He was making some tight window throws. Mike Williams, who is their X receiver, big receiver, seems to be their go-to guy now. He scored 3 touchdowns in that game. And that connection just seems pretty strong. And as far as the Chargers defense, we knew that they were going to be good because it just seemed like those pieces just really fit what Brandon Staley wants to do. And we're starting to see them come together. And I think they're going to be a good team. They're just, there's this Chargers team that finally is starting to live up to the hype. And they could have been easily 3-0 if it wasn't for some bad penalties in that Cowboys game. So they look like a dangerous team.
On the other side of the ball, the Chiefs are now 1-2 and are under 500 for the first time ever during Andy Reid's tenure as head coach. Reid reportedly also left the stadium in an ambulance for precautionary reasons due to a health concern. But putting that to the side for now, is there reason for concern in KC, or is this just some early season bumps in the road?
I think they are early season bumps, but they are concerning because, you know, they spent a ton of money trying to fix their offensive line in the offseason. And right now their offensive line just does not look very good. They gave up some quick pressures.
They're in on Mahomes, and he's taken down. Bosa in on the sack along with Tranquil, who made the stop on the previous play.
There were times where Mahomes was holding the ball, but that's what he does, and you kind of have to live with it. But they, you know, there were times where Joey Bosa just went straight through that offensive line.
Jump pass to Kelce incomplete. They had pressure on him again.
This is an outstanding job by Bosa getting up the field and not allowing him to have time for people to get down. But Kelce is going to come open, but really, Bosa made the ball get out too quickly.
The Chiefs are never a running team, but last year when they needed to, they could run the ball. And when teams are playing their sub packages, playing too high against them, they were able to punish them on the ground and run the ball, but that hasn't come into fruition. And that's something I think they have to do if they want to get back on track.
Now, turning our attention to the rest of the AFC West, the Raiders managed to pull out a come-from-behind win in overtime against the Dolphins, who were without Tua Tagovailoa. That puts them at 3-0 this year with a couple impressive wins in there. Do you think this Raiders team has finally found a winning formula for a potential first playoff berth in the John Gruden era?
Yeah, I think this is the first time where the Raiders have had a credible defense. You know, I think the defense is playing lights out right now, but they also played against 3 teams that have struggled offensively. They played the Ravens in week 1 when they were dealing with a bunch of injuries and O-line reshuffling. And then they beat the Steelers, who, you know, we've seen their offense is pretty anemic. And then they beat the Miami Dolphins with Jacoby Brissett, But I do think that their defense has made progress, and they'll be able to make plays when it matters against some of the better offenses later on in schedule. But this Raiders offense, I think, is legit. I think they're still dealing with some offensive line issues, but Carras has played extremely well under pressure, and they put a lot on him. And so far, he's stepping up to the plate.
Step up. Long ball, Carr. Got his man, Brian Edwards. And the Raiders are in business at the Miami 20.
I mean, I've watched Derek Carr since he was a rookie, and the two biggest criticisms of him is that he needs a strong offensive line, he needs a strong running game in order to function, and he doesn't do well under pressure. And right now, this Raiders team as it is, they don't have a strong running game, and under pressure, he's been making plays under pressure.
Carr launches, caught over the shoulder, Brian Edwards, Mr. Clutch. For Las Vegas.
And he's been doing that throughout the season. So his development late in his career is really interesting. And I think he's starting to move up into that top 10 tier of quarterbacks.
Well, stepping back to look at the AFC West as a whole, the Broncos handled the Jets to move to 3-0. Denver is now tied with the Raiders atop the division. The Chargers are 2-1, and maybe most surprisingly of all, Kansas City is in last place. So what do you make of the AFC West at this point? Are the Chiefs still the favorite to come out on top, or is this the year when their streak of five straight division titles finally comes to an end?
I would say the Chiefs are still the favorites just because they have Patrick Mahomes, and we've seen them bounce back in the past, and they still have a ton of talent in that team. And it's still early in the season. We're only 3 weeks in. So even though they're in last place, you know, they're two games out. So I definitely would not count the Chiefs out yet. But I do think that this AFC West, they have quality teams up and down the entire division. So it could end up being a tight race in the end. But, you know, it's just hard to count out Patrick Mahomes.
When it comes to working out, there are a lot of things that can make it challenging. Extra resistance, double speed, one extra mile, but your socks shouldn't be getting in the way. That's why Bombas Performance socks are built to be comfortable and supportive. With special Hextech performance technology, stitched with moisture-wicking yarn and temperature-regulating vents, they allow cool air to flow in and prevent overheating. Plus, they have a pillow-like tab to save you from blisters, with stay-up technology, a special arch-hugging system, and an extra layer of cushiony comfort on the bottom for the perfect amount of support. They come in different styles for every sport, with specific design features to help optimize your performance and keep you comfortable no matter what. And for every pair you buy, they donate one to someone in need. They have donated over 45 million pairs so far. When you combine the quality, comfort, and performance, these have become my number one go-to socks. So go to bombas.com/lead today and get 20% off your first order. That's BOMBAS, bombas.com/lead for 20% off. Bombas.com/lead.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Well, Well, Ted, one of the things people were most excited to see this weekend was Justin Fields making his debut as the starter in Chicago. But the game didn't exactly go Fields' way against a very aggressive Browns pass rush. What were your main takeaways from his performance in this game under pretty tough circumstances?
Well, I wrote an article before the season kind of supporting Matt Nagy's decision to start the season with Andy Dalton as a starter. And some of my main reasons were that offensive line is just terrible. And, you know, when you put a rookie quarterback in front of a line like that, he could start to build bad habits. You could really destroy his confidence.
Pressure coming. Fields in trouble. And he's down again. Miles Garrett's got 2.5 sacks in the first half.
When you're seeing this type of pressure, the game feels too fast. Your eyes start dropping towards the pass rush. And we've seen rookie quarterbacks in situations like this just get kind of shell-shocked and never really recover from it.
Fields is in trouble. Racing away, and he's sacked again! Miles Garrett! A career day! Living in the backfield. 4.5 sacks.
That's going to be a game that for him is going to be tough to forget. Guys couldn't get open. He was seeing pressure in his face right away. I just couldn't understand why Matt Nagy did not want to call some zone reads or option plays for Fields and take advantage of his athletic ability and protect the offensive line a little bit. When Andy Dalton comes back, maybe the right decision is to put him back in while this offensive line gets sorted out, because you just don't want to expose your rookie quarterback to games like that too often.
Well, after losing their first game of the year to the Chiefs, Cleveland has won their last two games in pretty convincing fashion, albeit against two pretty bad teams. Odell Beckham Jr. also returned against the Bears for the first time since tearing his ACL last October. So what did you make of the Browns in this game? Are there signs that this team could be better than they were last year?
Their offensive line and running game is still elite. You know, we saw that today. They just pounded that Bears front.
John breaks a tackle and he's got a first down. Huge, still on his feet. Kareem Hunt racing towards the end zone and he's in.
This was the first game I really watched Mayfield. And when I looked at his stats, he was pretty accurate the first couple of weeks, but he missed a bunch of passes in this game that were very makeable.
Mayfield throws way high. It was intended for the rookie Schwartz, but not even close. It'll bring up another third down.
For the Browns to really ascend, it depends on the development of Baker Mayfield. And if he could develop and become that quarterback that's kind of in that 10-12 range, then I think this team could be really good. But this game, I was not very impressed by Mayfield. For this team to be a legit Super Bowl contender, he has to play better.
And finally, Ted, the AFC North is looking pretty chaotic at the moment. The Ravens managed to just squeak past the Lions on a record-setting field goal by Justin Tucker. And the Bengals put a pretty good beating on the Steelers in Pittsburgh, much to my chagrin.
And going deep into the end zone and caught by Chase! Oh my goodness, what a grab! 34-yard touchdown throw! A 34-yard bomb thrown right here by Burrow to his college teammate at LSU.
What an incredible combination.
So after all that, there's now a three-way tie at the top with the Steelers lagging behind at 1-2. Is this division race wide open in your mind, or is there a clear favorite here?
Oh, yeah, it's wide open. I mean, I don't see a team that's really going to run away with it. I think if the Ravens get healthy, they have a chance at winning the division. You know, the Ravens are dealing with a ton of injuries. That guys missed this game because of COVID, and they somehow found a way to win. And, you know, this could be one of those, like, sneaky, important games later on. So Steelers still have a really strong defense, but that offense just is not sustainable. I mean, it's hard watching Big Ben. You know, I was a big fan of how he played when in his prime. And when you watch him now, he's just nowhere near the quarterback that he was. And his physical limitations is just really, really holding back this offense.
Ben on the move, intercepted on the play, and picked up by Wilson, his second interception today. Brought down by Harris.
I'm curious to see if the Steelers think about sitting Big Ben and looking at one of their backups, you know, whether it's Rudolph or Haskins, to see if maybe they could spark this offense.
Well, thank you so much for breaking all this down, Ted. And looking forward to seeing you next weekend for pizza and steak.
Come over. You're all invited.
You can follow all of Ted Wynn's NFL coverage and analysis and listen to his podcast, State of the Nation, at theathletic.com. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. Thanks for listening. To hear more of The Lead, you can follow us on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Or to listen to us on your Alexa-enabled device, just say, Alexa, play The Lead podcast.
The drama.
They're having to be separated. They've both been shown the red card.
The entertainment.
And he scores!
The superstar.
Foden! Oh, yes!
What a goal.
Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. I'm Mark Chapman, and every week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
They have this dynamism and this quality that they can play anywhere. They need to prove themselves in scoring more and more and more goals.
I think if they don't win the title this year, the season is a failure in the league.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.